Chapter 7. Alone in the apartment, Cindy could not shake the Mercedes from her mind. There had to be a connection between the car and Raffi, she thought. Who else in their neighborhood drove such an expensive car? She could ask Mom, but her mother would probably not discuss Raffi. Not after the fight they had. Cindy decided to try a new approach with Mom. She would cook dinner, something Aunt Shirley had once taught her. By the time her mother walked in the door, Cindy had a spaghetti dinner nearly complete. "My, what a surprise," Mom said. "You actually did some work for a change and didn't just sit around waiting for me to do everything." Cindy stopped herself from yelling back because she did not want to start another fight. She just wanted to find out if Raffi was the driver of the Mercedes she had seen earlier that day. "Mom," Cindy said, after her mother had a helping of spaghetti, "what kind of work does Raffi do?" Her mother put her fork down and eyed Cindy. "What are you up to?" "Nothing, Mom," Cindy answered. "I've told you before, he is a salesman. A darn good one, too. What makes you so interested in him all of a sudden?" Cindy could see her mother was in a bad mood. Maybe something had gone wrong at work or with Raffi. "I don't know. You said you were going to marry him, didn't you?" Cindy said. "If he ever gets around to asking me," she sighed. "What's the matter? You and Raffi have a fight or something?" Cindy asked, drizzling French dressing on the salad she had prepared. "You'd love to hear that, wouldn't you?" Mom asked with a smirk. "Sometimes he can be such a pain. I was sure he was going to give me a ring in Vegas, but he put it off again. I know he loves me. I mean, he's just beside himself when we don't see each other for a few days. He's crazy about me, but there's just something about marriage that just seems to scare men these days. Mom, does Raffi have a nephew who goes to Bluford?" Cindy asked, thinking about what Bobby said about the man in the Mercedes. Her mother looked puzzled. She twirled some spaghetti on her fork and thought for a second. Then she shook her head. "Raffi doesn't have any brothers or sisters, so he couldn't have a nephew. I thought I saw Raffi's car at the Chinese takeout this afternoon. Whoever it was had a smoked silver Mercedes, and I've never seen another one of those around here." "It couldn't have been Raffi. He's been out of town for 2 days. He had a sales convention in Los Angeles. He made a big presentation and everything," her mother said. "Oh," Cindy responded, dismissing her suspicion of the strange Mercedes. "It must have just been a coincidence," she concluded. "What's that?" her mother asked, pointing to the bruise on Cindy's wrist. "Nothing," Cindy answered quickly. "I bumped myself when I was getting something out of the closet." Cindy moved her arm as she spoke so her mother would not stare at the bruise. There was no way she was going to tell her mother what Bobby did. "So, do you want some ice cream?" Cindy asked, changing the subject. "Cindy, you know I can't eat sweets. They go right to my hips, and Lord knows they don't need to get any bigger. That reminds me, I saw your cousin Teresa today. She came into the restaurant with her boyfriend," her mother said. "She didn't look so good. If I didn't know she was 24, I'd say she was about 40 years old. She looks like she lost about 20 pounds. If you ask me, I think she's into drugs again, too," her mother added, shaking her head. "Drugs are everywhere in this neighborhood these days. Raffi and I keep talking about leaving this place for good as soon as we get married." Cindy thought about her mother's plan. There was no way she was going to live with her mother and Raffi. Keeping her thoughts to herself, Cindy scooped some ice cream into a bowl. She was happy to talk to her mother, even if she was not being totally honest. It felt good to see her without yelling or slamming doors. Cindy wanted to tell her what had been happening at school with Miss Abbott and with Bobby. "Hey, Mom, do you want to stay here tonight and rent a movie or something?" she asked, hopefully. "I can't just sit and watch a movie," her mother replied. "I'm going over to the mall to get some new clothes. My outfits just don't fit the way they used to. When we were in Vegas, Raffi kept teasing me about it. He kept saying, Come on, Pudge. I wore that bear midriff outfit I bought, the one I thought I looked so good in. I just kept oozing out of it, and Raffy needled me the whole time. As she spoke, she shook her head as if to dislodge the memory. Raffy's mean, Mom. He's got a mean streak, Cindy insisted. Oh, no, he does not. He just likes to tease, Mom snapped. He has a way of figuring out what really bothers somebody, and then he shoves it in your face, Cindy said. That's mean. You're not fair, Cindy. You never give Raffy a chance. He's a sweetheart. He just likes to kid around, that's all, she said. Well, I gotta go. Thanks for making dinner. Mom, maybe I could tag along, Cindy suggested. We never go out together, and maybe it'd be fun if... Not tonight, Cindy, her mother said. Just rent your movie and call a friend over. See, Raffy said he'd be back tonight, and we decided to meet at that restaurant across from the mall. Since he's just getting back from the convention in L.A., I think it's best if the two of us have some quiet time together. I better get ready. She got up and hurried down the hall to change. Cindy sat in the old recliner and watched her mother rush down the hallway. The apartment was silent, except for the occasional thud of her mother opening and closing drawers in her bedroom. Cindy knew what the sounds meant. Her mother was trying to find something pretty to wear for Raffy. Everything she does anymore is for Raffy, Cindy thought bitterly. Leaning back into the chair, Cindy wondered if her mother would be happier without her. Cindy awoke with Theo rubbing his furry face against her cheek. The apartment was dark, and Cindy realized she had fallen asleep in the recliner. The wall clock said it was nearly 8 o'clock, and Cindy knew from the silence that her mother was gone. In the dark quiet of the gloomy living room, Cindy could hear noises coming from neighboring apartments. The sounds of other people talking made her feel more alone than ever. She wondered if Mrs. Davis would mind her coming over. She thought it might seem rude to invite herself, but she did not want to spend the entire evening alone. Cindy rang the Davis's doorbell.
Well, hello there, honey child, Mrs. Davis said.
I was just sitting down to watch TV, and I can't find the TV guide, Cindy lied. I was wondering if you had one that I could borrow.
Come on in and watch TV with us, replied Mrs. Davis warmly, swinging the apartment door wide open.
Harold has some scary show on. Maybe you can get him to watch something a little less frightening, Mrs. Davis chuckled.
Cindy thanked her and went into the living room. She sat down on the worn sofa next to Harold.
Hey, Cindy, he said with a smile.
Cindy smiled back at him. The ending credits of whatever show Harold had been watching were scrolling on the small TV screen in the Davis's living room.
It's over, Grandma, he yelled so she could hear him in the kitchen.
She doesn't like shows with monsters in them, Harold explained. But I tell her there's nothing in a fake TV show that's scarier than things in the real world.
He grabbed a nearby paper plate filled with cookies and held it towards Cindy.
Try one. Grandma made them. They're real good.
Cindy took a chocolate chip cookie from the plate and ate it. Harold was right. The cookie was warm and sweet, and somehow it tasted as if it had been made with love. There was no such love in TV dinners, Cindy thought. Mrs. Davis came into the living room then.
There's a nice show on tonight about these angels that go around performing miracles, Harold, she said. You young people should really watch programs like that instead of all that cussing and killing they show on TV.
Harold looked at Cindy and grinned. The more she was around him, the less shy he seemed. Mrs. Davis sighed and sat down in a big chair. She took a pile of yarn from the knitting bag next to her and dropped it on her lap. Cindy figured that as a young child, Harold probably spent many happy years in that lap. It seemed made for snuggling children. Cindy reached for another cookie and noticed Harold staring at the bruise on her wrist. A strange look crossed his face, but he did not say anything. Mrs. Davis followed his gaze for a second and then interrupted the awkward silence.
So which classes do the two of you have together?
We both have English with Mr. Mitchell, and we have history together too, Harold said. Mr. Mitchell's the nice teacher I told you about who wears the really weird clothes.
Did you see him on Friday? He wore a red shirt and a purple tie.
He looked a little like a clown, Cindy said, shaking her head.
But he's real cool. If you need to talk about something, he'll always take time to listen.
Just don't ask him for advice on how to dress, Harold said with a smile.
He sounds like the kind of teacher kids need. I wish there were more like him, Mrs. Davis said. Back in my day, all the teachers took time out to sit down with students and talk, just like parents would. Nowadays, everything has changed, so it's a shame. Seems like too many teachers today just sit back and let the kids run wild.
Cindy, didn't you say you're drawing for the Bluford Bugler? Harold asked, suddenly changing the subject.
Yeah, Cindy replied.
Why?
I was wondering if I could see your drawing sometime, Harold said.
You can see them anytime, Cindy said excitedly, happy that he was interested in her work.
We can go right now if you want.
Grandma, I'm going to go over and see Cindy's work, Harold said. Okay?
Go on, go on, Mrs. Davis laughed, waving her hand in the air.
Give me a little peace, she chuckled to herself, the knitting needles working back and forth in her strong, dark hands.
Cindy turned to Harold as soon as they stepped into the hallway.
I love your grandma, she said.
Yeah, she's great, he said. Sometimes I think she's a little nosy, but that's because she's always watching out for people, making sure everybody's okay. Every day she looks out the window to keep an eye on what's going on in the neighborhood. She thinks it's her job or something.
I wish I had someone watching over me like that, Cindy said.
Don't worry, Harold replied. She watches you too.
Cindy smiled. She liked the idea that someone cared about her, even if her mother didn't. As soon as they entered the apartment, Cindy ran into her room and grabbed her scrapbook.
Some of these are old, she said, handing the book to Harold. I've been drawing since I was a kid.
Wow, you're really good, Harold exclaimed, leafing through the book. I had no idea you could draw like this.
Thanks, Harold. Cindy was excited to have someone to show her work to. When he finished looking at the sketches, Harold stood up and started to walk around the living room.
I'm really glad you let me see your drawings, Harold said, pacing back and forth.
He seemed nervous. At one point, he started to say something, but then stopped himself.
What's wrong, Harold? She asked.
I noticed your wrist when we were at my place, he stammered. It's pretty bruised.
Oh, it's nothing, Cindy blurted out. See, I was reaching for something in my closet, and I hit my wrist.
Harold stared at Cindy. She could see in his eyes that he did not believe her. Cindy stopped speaking and turned away from him. She wanted to shift Harold's attention from her wrist to something else. Anything else.
You're going out with Bobby Wallace now, aren't you? Harold asked.
Yeah, she admitted reluctantly, afraid of what Harold would say next.
When Jamie went out with Bobby, she had bruises like that, Harold said, pointing to her wrist.
Oh, I get it. So now you're going to be like everybody else and tell me to stay away from him, right?
Cindy replied. Harold paused briefly as if he was searching for the right words.
Cindy, that kid is no good. He don't bring girls anything but trouble. When I was in middle school with Jamie, I'd see her going with him, he continued.
She was only in eighth grade and he was a junior at Bluford.
Harold, I know what you're trying to say, but Bobby didn't mean to hurt me. He's just strong, that's all, she explained.
But if I were you, Harold replied,
But you aren't me, Harold, Cindy yelled. This really isn't any of your business. Everyone keeps telling me what I should do, but no one ever asks how I feel or what I want. Not you, not Jamie, not Mom. You don't know me, Harold. Right now, Bobby is the best thing I got. Better than school, better than this nasty apartment, better than anything.
Cindy could see that her words stunned Harold. For a second, he did not say anything. Then he looked at her.
I'm sorry, Cindy. I just don't want to see anything bad happen to you. That's all.
I appreciate that, Harold. But Bobby's been really nice to me. He's even letting me wear his football jacket.
Honest, he's nice, Cindy said, unsure whether she believed what she was saying.
Harold took a long breath.
Well, if you ever want to talk to someone, he said, I'm only down the hall.
Thanks, Cindy said, hoping he was not going to pressure her any further.
I'm sorry I snapped at you, Harold. You're really nice.
It's okay. I asked for it,
he said, looking around the room as if he wanted to change the subject. His gaze stopped at the clown sculpture on the coffee table.
What's that?
He asked.
Isn't that the ugliest thing you ever saw?
Raffy got it from Mom. I bet he got it at a junkyard for 50 cents or something. But Mom acts like it's some wonderful, expensive masterpiece because it's from him, Cindy said.
Harold picked up the clown sculpture for a closer look.
Who did you say bought this?
Raffy Whitaker, my mom's boyfriend. He's always buying her ugly stuff.
Harold looked at Cindy as if she had just insulted him. Without saying a word, he stepped back and placed the clown back on top of the coffee table, shaking his head.
Harold, what's wrong?
Raffy Whitaker? Is he really your mom's boyfriend?
Yeah, do you know him? Cindy asked.
I know of him, Harold said. He's a drug dealer.